The OTL podcast is brought to you in association with STEM Recruitment Solutions. If you need help in recruiting for science, technology, engineering and maths, visit stemrecsolutions.co.uk to find out more. Dum, 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 dum.
We've done it! Brilliant, Joshua. Absolutely brilliant. We'll leave you with the highlights. It's over. The times are done.
Hello and welcome to this bonus cup edition of the Only podcast. A little bit like Reese Airdrie, we do like to rotate the squad. It's not about starting 11. So you have me, Emma Quigley, hosting tonight. And I am joined by three regular contributors. I've got Barry Davis. How are you?
Good evening. Yeah, thanks. I'm well. Thank you. Nice to be back. I've not been on for a while, so it's good to be taking a turn.
Time to gloat.
Yeah, that's it. Pick this one. Picked well.
I've also got Airdrie's favourite stats man. Please accept no imitations. I've got Ross Mitchell. How are you?
I'm not bad. Not bad. Thank you very much for having me.
And finally, somebody I know very well, fresh from the latest episode of In the Night Garden, is my brother, David Quigley. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you. It was actually Paddington 2 tonight, so a wee break from the norm. But yeah, living in a bubble of cup euphoria just now.
Great stuff. Well, I thought we would kick off tonight with that. The latest, before we look at the Scottish Cup, we'll start off with Friday night. And I know some of us were there. Some of us were enjoying a few beverages at home, watching it on the telly, myself included, after a long week at work. So first of all, I'll just come to you in the order we started with, Barry. I think you were watching it at home, but I think we all enjoyed Friday night and another cup final.
Oh, yes. Yeah, definitely. Yeah, we watched it at home with a few beverages that even got more and more merrier. I think my neighbours probably wondered what on earth was going on. We're not used to hearing Airdrie song getting belted out at 11 o'clock at night, but it was a one-off. Well, maybe not actually, given the way we were playing, but yeah. No, it was a great spectacle on the television. The conditions didn't come across on camera, but apparently it was a pretty wild night up there in terms of wind and rain and what have you with the conditions playing a part. But yeah, I thoroughly enjoyed it and I had a lot of fun getting to the bottom of a keg on my perfect draft. So it was all good. Yep, very good.
Happy hangover.
Kind of. When you get to this age now, I've discovered you get two-day hangovers, which is not the best. But, well, you don't get to cup finals that often, so.
Enjoy it, absolutely. Ross, I think you were the same as ourselves. I think you were watching it on the television. I think you were a bit under the weather. What did you make a kind of Friday night's performance and the fact that we've, you know, the good times keep rolling in and we've made it to the cup final?
Oh, yeah, it was really good. It was good to sort of watch it on an actual big telly. I know that you can obviously put streams on TVs and that these days, but it was just good to see us in glorious HD. I thought we played really well. I thought Wraith huffed and puffed and did very little. Yeah, it was nice to get us into a cup final, definitely.
And David, we've been to a few Challenge Cup finals ourselves over the years. Are you looking forward to this one?
Yeah, absolutely. Something a bit different. TNS, the Welsh team, I don't really know what to expect from them. I never watched any of their game against Falkirk, but I think they're quite a decent setup and a lot of money being put into them, so it'll be a difficult game, no doubt. But as for the game on Friday night, I never actually got to watch it. I watched it in repeat or record at 2 in the morning. So I was a bit behind everyone, but I was delighted. It was kind of rinse and repeat from the previous games against Wraith, where we took our chance really well and kept them at arm's length for pretty much the whole game. Can't really remember them having a decent pop at goal the whole 90 minutes.
Was there any particular final that we've been in, the Challenge Cup, that kind of sticks out with you? I know myself, I think I missed the last one we were in because we were talking earlier today and Leah was a tiny baby, so I didn't make that one. I think the last one I remember was at Alloa with the shootout.
The 94 94 ones, I think it was, it stands out for me when it was the old B&Q Cup.
The glass vase.
Yep, it was that one.
It was a vase that, and I remember that game because Andy Smith dropped it when he lifted it, when the team was celebrating, and it was because it was a glass vase. Everyone kind of was panicking a little bit, which was quite amusing.
I have to educate me. I was 8 at the time. So talk me about that game. What was the score? Talk me through it.
Okay, so we won that game 3-2 in extra time. It was Dundee, and it was at McDermott Park. And I think the goals were scored by... I was struggling to remember this earlier on, actually. I was trying to think. I know Andy Smith, I think, scored the winner in extra time. I'm sure Stevie Cooper scored that day as well. Neil McCann would have been playing for Dundee. He was their up-and-coming talent at that time. Jim Duffy was their manager, their player manager. That's how long ago it was, seeing as though he's now in his 60s. I wasn't even 14 when we watched that. I know a fact about that, let me think. No, I'd have been 14. That was the same season we got to the semi-final of the Coca-Cola Cup, and Raith put us out. That's the game they were banging on about last week. With our young keeper, and we got to the Scottish Cup final that season as well. It was a tremendous season. I mean, it was like every week we seemed to be in some kind of semi-final or cup final or quarter final. And it was a fantastic season. It's actually the same kind of feeling I've got now watching Airdrie, just because we are doing well and we're kind of a wee bit of success, and we're all enjoying the feeling that comes with that. That's what it was like in 1994-95 season as well. We just left Broomfield. It was our first season in Broadwood. There was a lot happening. So for the team to actually do as well as did that season was very, very good. I think we finished quite high in the league that season as well, either third or maybe a fourth, but we didn't quite manage it in the league, but we had some great performances. A tremendous team.
We continued it on into the next year as well, because we got to, that's 95, we got to the Scottish Cup final. But thinking back to that period, we had really a lot of mixed fortunes at McDermott Park. We obviously won the B&Q Cup, which I actually remember very little of the game. I was only 8 as well. I just remember flying the flag out the sunroof on the way home down the motorway. But I remember the penalty shootout against Raith and Neil McCann flicking a winner. That was 100% across to knock us out the cup that year. But I mixed fortune at McDermott Park. But yeah, obviously the big final the next year. So hopefully we can replicate that again this year in our centenary year for the one and only time we've won the Scottish Cup.
Yeah, I think that was quite nice for the centenary year. And even though it's the Scottish Cup centenary, just to have a cup final in that year is really nice. And I'm a bit like David, I would have been 11 that season, and just from what you were saying, Barry, that was the kind of season I kind of started to fall in love with football and fall in love with ball and Airdrie, because, you know, I was a glory hunter back then, you know, I didn't know what was to come. the next 25 years at laying wait, but and it's really nice because you can see fans that you've kind of grown up alongside now going with their kids, and I'm one of them, you know, taking my daughter, and she's getting to experience the things that I did when I was, you know, her age and growing up. So it's just great to see everybody so enthusiastic and kids really enjoying it as well. But I don't remember anything about the game. I remember, if you ask me and David, we remember the flag out the sunroof going down the A9, and all my dad remembers is about the 3 hours it took to get out the car park at full time.
Yeah, I remember the journey's home as well, and I remember actually the cup final itself parading around the town in the back of a minibus that my uncle, who worked for Sweeney Plant Hire, had managed to get hold of, and we decked it out in red and white ribbon, and it was just, I mean, to have that kind of memory is amazing. But the actual that whole season and that whole couple of years was definitely phenomenal. And seeing the team win, that was the first time I'd seen Airdrie lift a trophy, a vase. And it felt, I was like yourself, Emma, that was kind of like the last few seasons at Broomfield, I'd kind of started going fairly regularly. And then I really ramped it up when, ironically, when we left Broomfield and moved to Broadwood. That was when I kind of started going kind of week in, week out and building up and looking forward to it and stuff like that. And it coincided with a very nice little run of making these finals. And so to be back in one again, it's like you say, it's kind of like a circle of life almost. Because now you're saying about the kids, and James is now seeing his team in a final for the first time. And he obviously saw the playoffs and loved that and loved everything about it, and still talks about it and goes on about it. So to now then see them in again on Sunday, the game on Sunday against Hearts, which we'll come to, and then the game against TNS, it's just a nice time. It's I hope it continues for as long as possible.
Have you warned them that it's not always like this?
yeah. I've kind of managed it. I kind of say, yeah, remember that there'll be good times, there'll be bad times, and it might not always be winning every week. And after the Murray season with the Queen's Park game, and we all thought we were going to lose a lot of the team, and he was dreading it, but we're going to lose them all and we're going to have this. And I said, but we'll sign more and the team will live on, and no, the team's bigger than the sum of its parts and all that kind of stuff. And it's nice to actually have retained those players and for it to have continued on. So yeah, it's tempered with a bit of realism that we are who we are, and it may not always be as good, but for now we're riding it. We're riding the crest of the wave.
And we can always reassure the kids that, you know, no matter what happens, we're always going to own Ian Murray. So, you know, take heart.
That's true.
Take heart. Yes, the final, I think it's the weekend of 23rd, 24th March against TNS, which I'll be honest, kind of isn't really who I wanted. I just kind of feel like a Scottish Cup should be played between, you know, the Scottish sides. And I don't know anything about TNS. Ross, you're a kind of stat man. Is there anything you've been to find out in the interim period from Friday around TNS?
Not much, if I'm going to be honest. I've not had a proper look into it. I will before the final, and I'm going to try and put together a thread on them as best as I can. But I've actually not even had a chance to go in and look to see if they're on like Y Scout and things like that. I'm going to assume they will be, because they've obviously been in Europe. I didn't realise Declan McManus played for them. I noticed that on Friday and Saturday night, the ex Falkirk and Dunfermline player. He's there, and they think he's been out injured for a little while. But yeah, I get what you mean about, like, it would have been nice to play any Scottish team because it's a Scottish Cup, right? But quite excited to have something different. You know what I mean? Like a different opposition, because I thought that, like, if we had to play Falkirk and then beat Falkirk again, it's just too easy these days, you know. It's just
where's the sport in that?
Where's the fun? You know, where's the fun in that? But it will be interesting. I know that they, like I say, they have competed in Europe and stuff like that, so I'll be able to dig up more stuff. So watch this space, and hopefully in the running to that cup game, we'll have something together. That is actually the weekend of my birthday as well, so I am actually off on the Monday already. That was pre-booked, which is nice, so I'll take that.
Completely unknown quantity then, but, you know, a team that seems to be absolutely flying at the moment. So, I mean, I don't even know how you could predict what the outcome of this one would be. Two teams seem to have a bit of momentum about them. I don't know how they're going to square up. It's a very strange one to try and talk about and predict, but... If I had to put you on the spot, Ross, on you go.
Okay, see, I watched the game on Saturday night between Falkirk and like TNS, and I'm not just saying, I'm generally not saying this to be like funny or have any digs, but Falkirk and all their resurgence, hopefully, it didn't look that good. And TNS, like, TNS looked all right, but like I didn't really notice anything. Like, I heard some people saying they looked a really like tidy team and stuff like that, but it wasn't as if the quality of football really jumped out. Like, and compared to the teams that we've played, and again, I'm not just being biased because obviously I'm a neutral fan, but like, compared to the teams that we've played, like your Dundees, your Ross Counties, and obviously St Johnstone, like teams that we've dispatched this season are there enough. I don't really say it is an unknown quality, but I wasn't overly impressed by them. And it might just be that was because, you know, they're coming up to Scotland to play. They could be absolutely fleeing down south. But I'm relatively optimistic. I'll eat my words if that's obviously, and I'll issue a full apology to TNS. But
I think I'd have preferred Falkirk because you did a great atmosphere at a final. You know, a great attendance, good atmosphere, and it'd be a bit of a gimme for us, obviously. But at least we know we'd be going to a proper cup final. TNS, they won't bring a lot of fans. We know that, but as well as we're saying, we don't know a lot about them. I think they're quite well bankrolled. So, although they're in a great run in that league, I think there's a bit of a gulf between their budget and the rest of the league. Maybe in a kind of like a Gretna situation to compare it up here, where they can go out and sign a much higher quality of player compared to the rest of the league. But I could be wrong, could be much closer. As I say, I don't really know too much about them. And I didn't watch the semi-final with Falkirk, so I really don't know what to expect from them. I just hope that we can go out and play our game and we'll have a great chance of lifting the trophy.
Yeah, I think everyone's probably going to be doing a bit of homework between now and the final, maybe watching a few more TNS highlights than we did before. I watched the Falkirk game, I think, a bit like yourself, Ross. I wasn't overly, you know, worried when I kind of watched that game and saw that, but as you say, it's very difficult to tell from just a one-off match. But it's probably quite difficult to make any predictions. But what do we think? Centenary of the year, is it written in the stars, Barry?
Yeah, why not? I mean, like we say, I don't know anything about them. I watched the game as well, and I thought they nullified whether we kind of would like to accept it or not, is probably a decent Falkirk team. I mean, they're canter in the league, and they barring a hilarious collapse, McGlynn flapping his way out the stadium, I think they will make it up this season. They'll finally do it. I thought TNS coped with their, I think they just nullified them. I think there's been comments saying that the two teams cancelled each other out, and that I think that'll, we like to see teams come at us. So if TNS come at us, then that'll leave the gaps for us to expose them. And that's where we're at our best. So if they do that, and I'm sure Reese McCabe will absolutely do his homework on these guys and get the lowdown on them. I mean, we should be getting into it full of confidence. I think am I right in saying they beat East Fife on penalties or something like that? I think in an earlier round. I know they absolutely thumped Arbroath, but Arbroath have had dreadful injuries, and they went down with a half squad, and they beat Falkirk, obviously. But then, who doesn't beat Falkirk? But yeah, I mean, I think we need to be confident. We need to be confident. I mean, you're in it to win it. It's a one-off game, 11v11. At the end of the day, I think the fact that they're an unknown quantity will make it interesting. Falkirk, we know pretty much what they're all about. We played them plenty. McCabe would have been relishing a chance to get one over on McGlynn again, but he'll get one over on their manager instead, and we'll see the team lifting the trophy, I'm sure. I'm confident.
I'm sure we'll probably come back to this a bit nearer the final itself, because I'm sure we'll have another podcast in between then. But obviously, reaching the finals, and I'm going to, sorry, Ross, I'm going to steal some of your stats you kindly provided today. We've reached the final in the back of 7 games undefeated, so we are in a good run of form ourselves. And I think the only league game we've had since we recorded the last podcast is the draw with Thistle. We beat St Johnstone to get to the Scottish Cup, which we'll touch on, but there's only been that draw with Thistle, so it feels a bit strange to me at the moment, because there's so much happening but not a lot of it in the league. We think our next game is not till Ayr United at home. Was it next? The 17th, actually, which is my birthday, so my birthday's few podcast birthdays coming up. David, you're February as well. So it's difficult to kind of touch on the league, but I mean, I'm assuming, you know, it goes without saying, you know, 7 games unbeaten. Yeah, we've maybe dropped out the playoff spot, just, but we've got that game in hand. Is, you know, the playoffs feel realistic to us now? Is it something that we want at the end of this season? I'm still stressed out from the last few seasons of playoffs. Or are we still in that frame of mind we want to kind of, you know, go for it? Or are we all still in? I think we were all in a bit of survival mode when we first went up. David?
You want to go for it. No one would ever expect us to have got into the playoffs at the start of the season. And there'll be absolutely no pressure on us to do anything in them. It would just be a bonus making them, so a kind of free hit. But even if we do get into them and fail or just miss out, it's the prize money compared to what we earned last year is just, it's going to be more than double, maybe three times as much as what we earned last year, which all adds to the budget for next year. So long term, yeah, do as well as possible. And I just take a free hit. But we'll see. So it's still a long way to go in the season. And this league's mental, you know, three games and you could be looking down at worrying about ninth, finishing ninth again. I think we'll be clearing our broth just given their predicament with injuries. But another three wins, we really are right in there for the playoffs.
Ross, yourself, it is a very, very tight league. And David said a little bit of form. Either way, you could see you dropping down quite significantly or rising quite significantly. Your playoffs realistic?
Aye, I think they absolutely are. I think, I know we had that blip back in sort of December after the last kind of good run of cup games. I'm hoping it doesn't kind of kick in again this time round. But I know we've joked about it in like our group, our chat and stuff like that. But we're obviously fifth now. But once we play those games, the Justice Table, the Justice League, whatever you want to call it, has us at fourth, and that's where we're going to be. I think if we got fourth and if we were in the playoffs, there isn't a team I'd be worried about unless Dundee United dropped into second somehow, but I don't think they'll kick on and win the league at a canter. Even looking at the teams above us, like if it's Dundee, and it'll be Dundee because they've done quite well recently, but if it was like a St Johnstone or a Ross County or a Livingston, like I just would not be worried by them. I'm not going to say we're going to win and get ourselves up. I'm just saying that I don't think there's a team in that playoff race either side of it that I would look at it and be like, I'm afraid to play them. You know what I mean? And I think we've carved ourselves out as a bit of a, whereas we used to be bottle merchants, for whatever the opposite of that is now. Non-bottle merchants. Noreen Murray's.
I think Callum Fordyce said it last season.
Big set of boss.
You get a locker room full of players, a big set of boss.
I think that may be the opposite, yeah.
Yeah, and you're adding in Mason Hancock to that, who's just so much swagger to carry. We carry on the players by himself.
He is brilliant. He's brilliant. It's actually, I sometimes find watching him off the ball more entertaining than on the ball, just when you see him swaggering about winding people up. I think everyone appreciates that. But the next game is Ayr Barry, and you know they've beaten us twice this season. So if we are race bogey team, they are turning a bit of a bogey team for ourselves. Because from the memory of the last game, I don't think they've even been particularly great performances from us either. I remember the game at Somerset was a bit of a stinker. So obviously they've changed management since. Confident for that one?
I think we huffed and puffed that day. We could have played another 90 minutes and not scored. It wasn't lack of endeavour, it was just lack of quality in the final third. They weren't particularly good either. I mean, their goal was so scrappy from our point of view defensively. A horrible missed header and just not very good. I think that they do seem to have a number, but every game against them is a chance to turn it around. And I think with the new manager coming in, Scott Brown, they're obviously getting a wee bit of a new manager bounce as well. So hopefully that wears off by the time they play us. But I think the Ayrgies management team will be sitting down and thinking, right, what can we do differently here? And I think one of the things that we have been able to do recently is limit teams, obviously, from scoring. Our defensive record in the past, well, all year, effectively, since the turn of the year, has been very, very good. And we are carving out that one or two chances for ourselves. I think they have changed the way the team plays to make Todorov the focal point, which I'm all for, because the big man's he's turning it on for his week in, week out. He's quickly becoming a bit of a cult hero. So I think it'll be a different way we play against them, and maybe we'll just catch them on the hop. We were coming into it off the back of really good form as well. It's at our place, so there's a lot of advantages for us, and we have to just keep on the old adage, one game at a time. In terms of us aiming for the playoffs, just to kind of touch on that very briefly, I think it will feel different if we get to the playoffs this season, because there won't be that expectation. Whereas last season, I think there very much was that expectation that we not only did we get to the playoffs or win the league, but we get up, which we obviously did manage to do. But if we get to them this season, it's like nobody expects that. Probably even Airdrie fans don't expect that. I mean, if we get there, great. But you'll still get most fans having one eye looking down the way instead of up. But we're in a really good position to at least maintain a position in the league. And who knows, if we get there, it's, what is it, four games, is it? Five, six games or something, I think, in total. Before we would then get up, and why not? Again, 11v11. And we've already proven we could beat a team near the bottom of the table. So in terms of the next game, though, just to kind of touch back on that, I mean, we've got to break that duck at some point. I don't think they're a great team, but they certainly seem to know how to kind of grind out results. But then, of late, so do we. So, fingers crossed, we kind of break that hoodoo and keep the winning run going.
Yeah, because it is a tough run. I think after that, we've got Morton away, and I think Dundee United away, which I think's on the Tuesday night for some reason. I don't understand again. I think our last game was on a Tuesday night. I'm not sure why this one is on the... And we've still got that rearranged schedule with a fixture with Dunfermline as well. So it is a really tough run coming up, which probably leads us on to Sunday's tough game, although I think we're all really looking forward to it. I think the update tonight was something over 2,000 odd tickets sold for at the Hearts game on Saturday. So I'm kind of relying on you guys to bring in some of your memories, because I wasn't at the two semi-finals. And I didn't make the game. I think it was the Cooperative Insurance Cup at the time when we beat them, because again, I had a very small baby. So the only time I've seen us play Hearts, we got beat 5-0. So I'm right now thinking, should I go at all? But I'm sure Dad had you at the semi-finals, David. Am I wrong?
Yeah, I'm not. I was at both of them. It's my very earliest memories supporting Airdrie, is the first semi-final, because I remember the goal Hearts scored being chopped off. And I think if looking back, I think it was there was nothing wrong with that goal. So we're a bit fortunate there. But then the 95 Cup final, I remember much better. And I remember Dad actually promising me if we won this, he'd buy me a new scarf. And that's the scarf I still wear to the games today. So the 95, yeah, much better memories, Stevie Cooper scoring. And even since then, we had them in the League Cup in the late noughties, when we were Airdrie United, we beat them at Tynecastle. But then obviously 2019 in the Scottish Cup, we thought we'd maybe catch some cold after the winter break, and they absolutely annihilated us 5-0. That was when Ian Murray changed the formation, strangely, and just gave them the whole width of the pitch to attack us, and they ripped us open time and time again. But I'm really looking forward to this Sunday. It'll be a good atmosphere. Hopefully we can shift it some more tickets, but with it being on TV, that's always going to affect the actual attendance. But I'm not expecting us to win it, obviously, but again, it's, as it says, it's a free hit. Just go play our game. Don't play the occasion, just play our game. Play the way they've played all season. We know what the players give us is 100%, and any team that's going to come to Broomfield and go away with a victory, they're going to have to work hard for it. So yeah, it should be a cracking cup tie.
Ross, you looking forward to it yourself?
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to it. I remember the sort of semi-finals for the early 90s. I remember coming home from one of them and going out my bike after. I've got a really weird memory of that, to try and find a mate of mine who was a Hearts fan to rub it in his face that we had won. But missed the last time we beat because I was on holiday, and like yourself, the last game I was at was the 5-0 game, and that was just a bad afternoon. There was no enjoyment in that whatsoever. But I think like David was saying, I think teams are going to have to come to Broomfield. They're going to have to earn their win. I think Hearts will be no different, and I just hope that we give a good account of ourselves. I hope Reese works a bit of his magic. I don't know if it does it go to penalties or does it go as a replay. I don't know how this format works.
I actually don't know.
I think it might be
No.
straight to penalties. I'm sure the last
Yeah.
round was straight to penalties. I think they've done away with replays. So.
Yeah, they have. There's no replays in the Scottish Cup now at all because obviously the Dundee game last year went to extra time, and that would have been a replay had there been such a thing. So yeah, straight to extra time and PKs.
So it did, because we couldn't make that, me and the guys I go with, and one of them at full time put a thing in the group chat saying, oh brilliant, we'll get a replay back, we'll get them back at home. And then he checked his phone 2 minutes later and they'd scored four goals against us in extra time.
Oh, I love football. And of course, nobody did us a favour of coming in the window to take Shankland off their hands. So he's going to be a handful to manage on Sunday. How are you tackling that one, Barry?
That's got to be a dicey special, hasn't it? First minute of the game, let them know you're there. I think the last little run, Dicey's been pivotal to that run. I mean, the whole defence, but he's led by example. Very rarely does he lose anything there. And he just seems to be rock solid. He must be a nightmare to play against if you're a forward, because he will let you know he's there. And Shanklin's no different. Again, he is a good player. I don't know how mobile he is. I mean, I don't know if he's the quickest. He's certainly not like kind of Lewis McGregor-esque. So I think you just put Dicey on him early doors and let him know he's there. And then the other forwards they've got, I'm sure the rest of the defence can manage them, you know. I think Hearts will come through expecting, not expecting it to an easy win, but I think they'll come through expecting a win. So you never know. Reece will have done his homework again. In terms of being a free hit, yeah, to an extent, although I don't think the management team will see it like that. I think they'll want to see what they can get from the game and progress to the next round. I think the money we get for getting to the quarters is pretty decent. So there's a lot to be said for getting something. I don't actually know a lot about Hearts, to be honest. I know they're sitting third on the table, but I couldn't tell you a lot of the players. Now Shanklin's obviously the main man. We've got somebody else up front who's.
I started looking at a few of their stuff today, and like Alan Forrest is another player for them. Like, he likes to, like, kind of cut inside. James's wee brother. So they have got, like, but they've been leaking goals recently. They lost two goals to Dundee last week, or 2-0 down, I'm pretty sure. And then I think they easily beat Aberdeen, but then who hasn't recently? And then again, they just beat Dundee 3-2 the week before that, or the game before that. So like they are vulnerable at the back. But yeah, there's I was doing like a shot map thing of Lawrence Shankland, and his shot map alone is probably busier than any team's shot map I have seen this season. So good luck, George Ray.
Maybe he'll give him
Godspeed.
maybe they'll completely underestimate us and think they can give him a wee rest. Maybe that's a good scenario for Sunday.
And it'd be.
I hope they underestimate us.
Yeah, I think they will. I think there'll be an element of arrogance. There usually is with these SPL teams.
What well for St Johnson?
Yeah, I mean, I was going to say, I haven't even really talked about the St Johnson game, but from memory looking back, I mean, I don't remember them really offering anything that day. It was a very disjointed and...
The boy up front looked dangerous, but without actually doing anything other than a wee miscommunication between the defence and Josh Ray, they never really had a great chance. St Johnston, I was actually quite disappointed in them as a Premier League team. I thought they'd be much better. But just back to Hearts, I didn't realise they're actually the second form team in the league behind Rangers. I think they've accumulated one more point than Celtic in the last 5 or 6 games, so it's not going to be easy. It's going to be really difficult. So just hope we can give a good account of ourselves, and you never know, sneak a goal. Who knows?
I think that's it. I just want to, you know, go and, you know, don't change what we do. You know, go out and play our game the way that we want to play it. Obviously, to the best of our ability and have a good account of yourselves. And in a one-off game, you know, you never know. You know, we've just sat and, you know, discussed how it's happened in the past. So no reason why it couldn't happen again. But it'll take some effort. But looking forward to it. My father-in-law's a jambo, but he's not going. And he was very gracious after they scalped us 5-0. I don't know if I would be as gracious if we did manage to go through on Sunday. Where's the fun in that?
Well, you get to find that out from we scalped them 5-0 then. You can decide whether you want to be gracious or whether you want to be a little bit less than gracious.
Did I read somewhere that the draw's made before we play Hearts for the next round?
I just assumed it would be after. I never actually...
I thought it would be after.
I've heard that before as well. Yeah.
I read some, I think it was on the chat, someone saying it was before the game.
Someone shared that with me as well, that it's before the game. So we'll know who we have, well, who we would maybe have, sorry, in the next round.
It could be an
incentive for them.
I haven't actually looked. I know there's games happening at different times. Is there a game before us? I know, I think there's one Friday night, isn't there?
There's a Friday night game, a Saturday lunchtime game, and I think their players that have two.
Yeah, BBC have two. And
Sunday lunchtime game as well.
Maybe that's when the draw is going to take place. That'd be an interesting one, knowing who you could potentially be playing.
So I'm sure the Celtic game's on Sunday lunchtime, so it might be that the draw is after that game, live on Viaplay. Maybe that's what they're doing.
St Mirren Celtic before us, and the Friday night game is your Morton and Motherwell game.
I think are getting scudded as we speak, or no? They are no. They're beating Ross County. Ross County getting beat at the moment. I think it was 3-0.
3-0 at the first half.
Yeah. So do we dare make any predictions, or are we just all going into it with a? Let's make a good account of herself, and you know, stranger things have happened in football.
I'm not making any prediction. You know what? Go one nil here, we'll sneak it. We'll keep Shankland out, and like Todorov will turn up at the other end, show him how it's done.
Barry,
I don't want to predict an Airdrie defeat, so I'm going to go 1-0 Airdrie as well, and I fancy big Todorov to score against his former team. Because he was a jambo, wasn't he? I think when he first started over here, he was with Harps.
Yeah, he was.
So I fancy Big Toddy to get another goal, and then we'll just shut up shop again, keep them out, and frustrate the life out of Shankland, and they'll get sent off. There we go.
I'm not making any predictions because I don't think I've got one right in about 3 years. So there's absolutely no point in me contributing with a prediction. But yeah, you're just going to win, Ross.
I'll take a draw. I'll take a draw then. Big Josh Ray being the hero in penalties. I'll take that.
Oh, I don't think I could watch. I remember we were talking back to the challenge cut. I remember the Aloha show. I watched that. I didn't watch it. I stood my back to it. Couldn't watch it. David, I don't know if you remember. I had my back to it for pretty much most of it.
No, I don't remember it. I don't think I was at that game. Remember remember Ross County penalties that you weren't at?
Yeah, that's when Leah was a baby.
I don't think I was at that game.
I think the penalties was the Livingston game.
Oh, maybe I'm getting them mixed up. There was one, I remember.
Two back-to-back.
Yeah,
the Livingston penalties. Brotto was in goal. McPhee missed a penalty.
Mm-hmm.
Because I forgot about the games. And then Aloha was... Was it Mark Roberts scored?
Aye.
Yeah.
He scored the game. Last 10 minutes or something to make it 2-1. And it was gone.
Is that not a pretty dreadful final as well?
I got James to do some research with my daughter here. It's on his kind of child writing here. You can see that. So we drew 2-2 with Livingston and beat them 3-2 on penalties. That was Archibald's team. And the following season, we beat Aloha 2-1. That would have been McCall's team. Both finals were at Broadwood, if I remember correctly, as well.
Because I remember being behind the goals. I'm sure we were behind the goals at Broadwood. for one of them.
Yeah, that was a Livingston game. We were behind the goal for that one.
Yep, that would be right it behind. Then. Yeah,
because I remember for Brian McPhee's penalty, Brotto actually put his hands out to the right hand side, and that's where he hit it.
Yeah, I remember him being very off-putting as a goalkeeper to the person taking the penalty. He was like dancing about in his line and stuff. Like that was brilliant.
Oh, it was phenomenal.
Well, I think on that note, we will wrap up. And yeah, just wish everybody the best of luck on Sunday. I'm not used to this, games at weird times. Sunday, and if you can get along, please get along, you know, cheer them on. I think we can all see that the players, you know, they do appreciate it when we turn out, and hopefully we will see as many of you as possible there.
I'm delighted to welcome a special guest to the OTL podcast, a returning guest. So welcome to the podcast, Joel Sked. How are you?
Very well. Colin, how are you, sir?
Yeah, no, I'm good, thanks, Joel. I was just thinking earlier, you've been on before, so I hadn't joined the dots. That was immediately pre-COVID, so the world's changed quite a bit since then. People will know you from the Terrace TV show, the Terrace podcast, work that you did with the Scotsman, but you've moved recently to the Heart Standard. So just as an open question, what's the Heart Standard all about for Airdrie fans who might not have heard of it yet?
Yeah, so essentially it's a website that is dedicated to everything and anything Hearts Midlothian Football Club. So yeah, I was at the Scotsman for, it's kind of started on a freelance basis back in 2018. And so I've been there for, was there for about 5 years. And then in the summer I got approached by the Herald or the NewsQuest or the guys at the Herald that they have, they've got sites, a Rangers site, they've got a Celtic site, and they wanted to expand into Edinburgh and do a Hearts and Hibs site. So I got approached by guys from the Herald about being the editor for that. So yeah, when I went to uni to do journalism, there was only kind of two jobs I wanted within journalism. One was either writing for a 442 or World Soccer, and then the other one was writing about Hearts, covering Hearts. So yeah, that's it's a dream job, so to speak. So yeah, it's basically just coverage of Hearts every single day. So get to games, get to press conferences, do interviews, do features, do in-depth tactical or statistical analysis. Thankfully, my colleague's very good at that side of things. I'm not as au fait with how games shape and the intricacies of it, but no, it's going really well at the moment, and it's the feedback's been pretty good.
And how's the combination of your work now being so close to your passion that you've had for a long time of Hearts? Is it easy to not lose enjoyment of being a Hearts supporter when your job's so close to the club as well?
Yeah, so that's a good question, and I'm sure that'll be tested over the coming months and years. It's good when we launched the site, it was back in September. Hearts were in a bit of a iffy situation, but kind of the end of November, December, it's been great. So it's been really positive. I've actually found myself getting more nervous with games than I was before. So when I was working for the Scotsman and covering games, I was going in there with you had to look at both sides, and at that time I was thinking I would still rather just be in with my mates, just watching the game and supporting the team. But with this now, it's the fact that I'm actually doing something on Hearts. I don't have to, not that I've done it before, but I don't have to play down my maroon biases. So I found it fine at the moment. Everyone knows I'm a Hearts fan, so I don't have to. I just think it would be silly if I tried to play it down or anything like that. So far, so good. Been really enjoying it. Because the nerves, because I know if Hearts do well, then it makes my life slightly and job slightly easier. So that's why probably the nerves has kicked in a wee bit more. But it's, I didn't do a very good job of hiding my Hearts tendencies when I was working for the Scotsman. So what's the point in trying to dull that down?
Yeah, but it's good that everything's aligned, because as you say, I mean, the Hearts doing well at the top of the league is going to help with the Hearts Standard. So yeah, you don't have any conflict of interest. You're wanting everything to go well to give you good happy stories to write and to keep the subscription numbers high, presumably.
Yeah. I mean the without giving away figures, we got a very. got a very in terms of a subscription target early on, because there were a subscription based website you can pay to read, and it was quite a kind target, and we smashed through that, and it's been really good. And I told my colleague who works with me on the website, and my boss who covers a lot of sites, I told him, just wait until Hearts are doing well, and you'll just see you'll kind of just see the interest grow, because having been with Evening News before and the Scotsman, and seeing the passion that Hearts fans have for everything and anything to do with their club, I just knew it could be a success if done right. And thankfully, with the team doing so well, it's been reflected in kind of the subscription numbers.
And how's the mood around the club generally? So last time when we were about to play, we spoke and Stendal had just come in. You were down towards the wrong end of the table. And I think that always forces people to question a lot more with what's going on in the boardroom, what appointments. I mean, I think it wasn't long after Levine's departure. So is it a much happier camp round about Gorgui at the moment?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I think it's interesting, though, because it's not... I mean, between the last time we spoke and today, a lot has happened. Obviously, they've gone through COVID. We've been demoted, relegated, however you want to frame it. Came back up, finished third, and then now on to the second manager since Stendal, after Naismith replaced Nielsen. I'm sure a lot of Airdrie fans, if they pay any attention to the wider Scottish football and the top flight, will know that Hearts did go through a difficult spell at the start of the season. There were protests against the board, like banners and chants at a couple of games earlier on in the season. There was a lot of doubt and suspicion, criticism of Stephen Naismith, even though there was still a decent element of the Hearts support when it came to naming the next manager. He had a decent number of supporters within that, and then there was some that would probably have preferred someone more experienced. I was probably in that camp, but then it was the whole appointment and how it was framed because of the coaching badges. Naismith couldn't be head coach for Europe, so then Frankie McAvoy. So it looked a wee bit messy, a wee bit clunky, even if everyone behind the scenes knew exactly what was happening. So yeah, there was times where we were going into games and everyone was saying, oh, this is a must-win for Naismith, this is a must-win for Naismith, this is a must-win for Naismith. Now you'll see loads of Hearts fans thinking, guys who are very, very anti-Naismith are going, you know what, bloody hell, he's done a great job. You can see the progress the team has made under Naismith, the progress that's been made under Naismith in so many different factors, whether it's away wins, whether it's big results, whether it is... defensive record, set piece record, is starting to score more goals. It's just been kind of like an upward curve under Naismith, and people are just really, really enjoying themselves, and they're probably kind of pinching themselves that this has happened, considering the start of the season where it was a wee bit sketchy.
And with that trend over the course of the season, the Scottish Cup, I mean, is this the main thing you're seeing? Because it looks now like third place, you really need to go some to not achieve that just with the gap and nobody behind you showing consistent form. So are Hearts fans starting to turn their focus on, to the extent there's a chance of winning something this year, surely it's got to be the Scottish Cup?
I wouldn't say turning focus, because a lot of Hearts fans are still stung from last year where we were in a commanding position at this time of the year. 12 months ago, and made a pig's ear if it allowed Aberdeen to come up the outside, to come up the inside and finish third ahead of us. So a lot of people are still stung with that. My mates was in the group chat last night. My mates were saying, one was like, oh, I've only just got over losing out to third place to Aberdeen. And then another was like, I've still not over it until we finish third. So there is a big focus within the club and within the support of getting third place. That's the main priority. And then with regards to the Scottish Cup, it's very much a case of, if we don't win it, please let Rangers or Celtic win it, so the cup winners don't steal our group stage European group stage football. But yeah, it's every single season. The Scottish Cup is such an opportunity for a team like Hearts. We've got close the last few years. We've been beaten in this the final a couple of times. We got to Was it three times in the last 4 or 5 years? So we've been getting back to Hampden on a regular basis, which is really, really encouraging. And it's just about making that next step. And you definitely feel like Naismith is the type of manager who can potentially, like the kind of the evidence that we've seen, potentially help us get to that next step. So yeah, if I was to frame it, third place is the aim. The Scottish Cup would be the greatest of bonuses.
And well, turning to Saturday's tie then, so is there, like, last time you were very good entertained us with paying a bit of respect to Airdrie's record and Hearts. Now our name might have been said in hushed terms. He then smashed us 5-0 at the game, so ended up not, the hoodoo was very dead that day. Is there any nervousness about this tie? I mean, you're on very good form, so are we, but a league below. What's the general mood for a game against Airdrie?
Everyone I kind of spoken to about it is very much, it's almost respectful. It's almost like we're in great form. We should go to a team who are in the Championship and we should win. We should progress to the next round of the Cup. But I think everyone's very wary that the Airdrie have got a lot of good publicity, certainly this season, going back the last couple of seasons, for being playing entertaining football and just being a really good, well kind of coached outfit. So I do think there is a wee bit, would it go as far as trepidation? I think just Hearts fans are in general are wary of the threat that Airdrie will pose. I'm very much in that camp, having seen only wee bits of you this season, but knowing the way the team and the club has progressed over the last couple of years. And we only need to go back a few years when we were beaten by Brora Rangers in the Scottish Cup. So yeah, that one still stings, and I think there's very much a view of don't take anything lightly, just get the job done. That was, you could see that against the Spartans the last round. We played a really strong team. I can see and it will absolutely be the case. We'll play a strong team because we'll know that Airdrie will pose a lot of problems, and we need to be switched on and focused, because I do think, like, Airdrie, if there's specific things you can do against yourselves to stop you playing the way you do, then we can make it very difficult for you. And I think that'll be the mentality thing. There will be no taking the eye off the prize on the Naismith.
Saturday, you said it was a strong team that went out against Spartans. So do you expect a full strength Hearts, and the danger man, is Lauren Shankland going to be playing from the start in this one, or is that what should happen?
I think what will happen is the strongest team. So this is a caveat, this one. So what will happen, there will be a strongest team and Lauren Shankland will start. The caveat is that we don't actually have a strongest 11. Naismith has not played the same 11 in back-to-back games all season. We have a strong core. We have now you've got kind of 6-7 players who will always play if fit, and then he makes changes, 3-4 changes per game, sometimes only two, but he very rarely plays the starting 11. We've got a number of players coming back, so Cammy Devlin, Kai Rose and Nathaniel Atkinson are all back available, which makes the competition even healthier. One thing I'll say about maybe one thing that Airdrie fans won't like to hear is that we might actually be better on Sunday, because Craig Gordon is, I would imagine Craig Gordon will play instead of Xander Clark. Now, Xander Clark has been absolutely tremendous the last couple of months, since keeping a clean sheet at Celtic Park. He's been fantastic. He's not let the team down and he's made himself undroppable. Yet, I think it's still widely accepted within the Hearts support that Craig Gordon, if you were to just say, who's the better goalkeeper? Craig Gordon is the better goalkeeper, and I imagine he'll come back in at the weekend. Lauren Shankland will start. And there'll be, I'm afraid to say, there won't be any wholesale changes, I don't think, that will disrupt the rhythm of or the quality of the team.
And I know that I've seen on your Twitter page that you've ticked off all the 42, so you've been to Airdrie before. But have you seen Hearts play at our place?
No, I've never seen Hearts at your place. The only game I was at Airdrie for was Airdrie Onions against Cowden Beef. It would have been second or maybe third tier. So that's the only game I've seen there, and actually bumped into Robbie Nielsen. He was there watching the game as well. So that was a long time ago. Got the train through. I can't even remember being in a few pubs, but I could not tell you which pubs those were.
Okay. So a football purist, Joe Airdrie versus Cowdenbeath. What other fixture would you take in? Enjoy the game on Saturday, but not too much. And good luck with the Hearts Standard. I'll watch with interest and see how you get on. But thank you very much for giving me your time tonight.
No, thanks very much. Thanks for having me. And yeah, I'm really looking forward to the game. Two informed teams. I think it'll be a cracking game. A great selection for BBC, even if the kickoff time is a pain in the arse. No more sorrow.